You're listening to a chapel service recorded at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. For more information, visit asburyseminary.edu.
Good morning! We are now acquainted. The 18th chapter of Luke. And he spake the parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then follows two parables on prayer. One of an unjust judge that feared not God nor regarded man. And a widow came to him to plead with him to avenge her of her adversary. And he would not. But she continually came and never let up in her petition. And the unjust judge said, though I fear not God, neither regard man, I will avenge her of her adversary, lest she weary me with her continual coming. Then follows another parable, and God, the parable puts in, will not God avenge his own elect who continually come to him? He certainly will. Then follows another parable of two men who went up into the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. The Pharisee said, I thank God I'm not like other men. I pray, I fast twice a week. And another man came to pray, a publican, did not lift his head, but smote his breast and cried, God have mercy upon me, a sinner. Jesus is the supreme example for us in prayer. Everything that Jesus said or did was undergirded with prayer. He had a regular program of prayer. Something of that program is indicated when he arose a great while before day and went out into a solitary place. And there he prayed. Another example where he continued all night in prayer. And again, he withdrew himself from the marketplace and went to a place of quiet to pray to his heavenly Father. We have an example of his praying as it came to his crucifixion, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane until his sweat was as drops of blood dripping from his brow, and in great agony cried, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Here a supreme example and pattern for our prayer, that in every difficult trial, in every situation of life. That the will of God may be done. Not my will, but thine be done. All for his glory. Then as he was under the shadow of the cross, he prayed that remarkable prayer, which I designate as the greatest prayer ever prayed, recorded in the 17th chapter of John. And what did he pray for his disciples? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Teach to thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Oneness of spirit among God's people. And thank God, we are in some measure recovering that oneness of spirit which we lost after the apostolic age. In the great evangelical front across the world today, there is a new sense of oneness. That is where my prayers are centered and my life is centered. In that great evangelical trust of unity across our world until every soul that is not heard of Christ shall hear his message and have an opportunity to accept him. Another thing he prayed for, these things I speak being in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Well, I got a shouting spell one day. Do you ever shout? Well, I've shouted a few times. I was on the highway where I do much of my memorizing of the scriptures. So I had memorized this great chapter in prayer and repeated it hundreds of times. I'd never seen this before. I'm riding along the highway and I came to that passage. These things I speak being in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And then I realized he'd prayed for me, that I might have it. For he says later, I pray not for these alone, but for them also which will believe on me through their word. And I'm one that believed on him through his word, through their word. He prayed that I might have his joy. And I shouted glory. I shouted hallelujah. As I traveled the highway, he wants you to be a happy Christian. Your faith spreading not this way, but out this way. Pray that you might be happy. Be joyful. He prayed that they might remain in the world till their work was done. I pray not that thou wouldst take them out of the world, but thou wouldst keep them from the evil. And again he prayed, twice he prayed, I pray not that thou wouldst take them out of the world. He wanted them to remain in the world till their work was finished. And so he does for each of us. And he's prayed that we might be here till our work is finished, And let me say to you this morning, the safest place for you and for myself is in the will of God till our work is finished in this world. Then he prayed another prayer. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. They might be cleansed. They might be purified. They might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that great cleansing and that great purifying, as we know, took place in the upper room for 120 and thousands of others on that great day when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his disciples and his people that they might be sanctified. And then too, he prays that they might be with him. Father, listen to this. I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Aren't you glad for that prayer? That he wants us to be with him? Aren't you rejoicing that he already has a reception committee there at the eastern gate ready to receive you when you go on? He wants us to be with him to all eternity, forever and forever. Some of the contributing factors to prayer. Number one, the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. God's Word, read it again and again, continually new, never reaching the full depth, never exploring all of the dimensions in the Word of God. Impossible. And that's a contributing factor to our prayer life. Quench yourself with the entire Bible. Don't confine yourself to some favorite chapters, but get the Word of God as a whole. We have more help today for reading the Scripture than we've ever had. Many of them will take you through the Bible in a year's time. Keep God's Word ever before you in your prayer life. God's Word. And another thing that will contribute to your prayer life will be to pray for your enemies. Listen. All right. Pray for them that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice about the privilege you have to pray for him. Oh yes, put up toward the top of the prayer list those that don't think well of you. And all of us have people like that, but no exception. Remember those that despitefully use you and don't like you. That's a great contributing factor to your prayer life. And then too, I think we should remember the words of the psalmist. Sing unto the Lord. Again, repeatedly, sing a song. Oh, how wonderful to sing. I got it by prayer time this morning at 4:00. And I open my prayer time. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Sing a hymn. It's hard to keep I have. Never die, God to glorify. A never dying soul to save and fitted for this ground. or over the thousand tongues to say, my great Redeemer's praise. Oh, yes, our amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Sing before you start praying. Sing a song, a hymn. Memorize some of the old hymns and sing in connection with your praise. And then, too, another thing that's going to help you in your prayer life is to look for new dimensions in your praise. There is no static. There is no dead level in any of the Christian virtues. There is always an ascending scale upward. It's all upward. And so, think about the matter of some new dimension in your praise. Now, many of you know that I am strong on physical fitness and keep on it everywhere I go. I have a physical fitness service. I was in a revival last week up in Ohio. But I had a physical fitness service. You can pray better if you've got a good body and a good mind. You owe God something. Keep yourself in shape. But what's your motive? I'm plowing close to the corn in next to myself now. Preaching to myself. Been about 9 months ago now, not a year quite. And I was waiting before God, searching my heart. And God said to me in the inner voice, Z. Stanley Jones would say, what are you taking all this exercise for? What are you carrying all this gymnasium with you? Where do you go? On plane or in the car? Yes, to be right honest, I might enjoy my children. My son's here in the audience this morning, having a family reunion, Thanksgiving Day. That's good, isn't it? Yes, enjoy your grandchildren. Sure, I've got them. Enjoy your great-grandchildren. I've got all of that, too. And on my 93rd birthday, I heard a voice coming out of Shreveport, Louisiana, a little grandbaby 2.5 years old. Hello, granddaddy. Happy birthday. The inner voice said to me, yes, that's what you're carrying this gymnasium around about for. To be with those children, those grandchildren. I see it. The inner voice said, it's for my glory that you should be doing this, to advance my kingdom. I fell on my knees, asked God to forgive me. Now every morning says, and did it this morning after 45 minutes, fell on my knees and said, oh Lord God, I thank you for the body that you've given me, the long years you've given me, but help it to be for thy glory and for the advancement of thy kingdom, for his glory. Keep that in mind. Then too, another contributing factor to your prayer life will be to pray with somebody. If two or three be agreed on earth as touching anyone saying, ye shall ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be given you. So team up. Have a prayer partner. I had one in my college and seminary days. Two of us, every Wednesday, spent an hour in prayer. Add another one or two, and it will strengthen you. And now another thing that will add to your prayer life will be fasting, abstaining from food. Now, I speak cautiously here. There are a few people, they have a heart condition, and you ought not to fast. But there are numbers of others. It'll do you good both physically and spiritually to do some fasting. That'll be true. And after they had prayed and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, unto the work whereunto I have called them." Keep this in mind. Great things can be accomplished through prayer. But there are some things that can be accomplished only through prayer and fasting. And don't try to imitate John Wesley or anybody else in fasting that you know about. He fasted twice a week. Jesus put his approval upon the scribes who said they fasted. This ought you to have done. When they said they had fasted twice a week, you ought to have done this, but not to have left the other undone. And that will be a matter you need to work out with you and your God in relation to your program of fasting. But keep that in mind. Now then, another thing that will contribute to your prayer life is that of prayer retreat. Getting off, away. I was just one in October. For a Wilmore camp meeting in my A-frame down on Dale Hollow Lake. There were 11 of us there. The president of the camp and other officers were there. Some of them are here this morning. We were there from Saturday evening until Sunday noon to share with one another and to pray for one another. And I want to say to you, and I speak advisedly, that time was one of the greatest times of my life in the new spiritual dimension for my personal life. And I have remembered every day since that retreat, every one of them that were there, and called their names to my Heavenly Father. Keep in mind these retreats. Drawing aside to pray and wait upon God. And now, in conclusion, the devil will turn all of his guns on you to defeat your prayer life. He knows that if you're successful in your prayer life, he's defeated. If he can defeat you in your prayer life, then the devil has won, and you are defeated. And especially will he do that with the ministry. That's in the ministry. Your number one thing in your life in the years that are ahead. Keep up your prayer life. Keep in touch with the living God. And look for new dimensions in your prayer life. A new dimension came to me only 3 months ago. The inner voice said, "You're not praying enough about little things. Your daily schedule, going hither and yon, fishing, hunting, water skiing, all of that sort of thing." That's right. And there came a new vision to me. And it's been new. Now for 3 months. And this morning, in my prayer time, this chapel's on my schedule. I prayed about it. I'm going to be taking a car in just a short time, traveling back to Dale Hollow for my family reunion. I've got a conference with the business manager of the seminary immediately after this chapel this morning. And everything of today I have prayed about and submitted to God. Keep up your prayer life, and you will travel the highway of holiness that leads from earth to glory, with an expanding glory as you travel on. Now this morning, in conclusion, I want us, before we have the hymn, to bow our heads in silence to let God speak to us about our prayer life. I'm including myself with you, that he might show me something beyond what I've ever known for my prayer life. Amen. Now, something new came to me. I share it with you. I have been praying for the East Stanley Jones School of Evangelism and World Missions, giving my utmost to it, for I think it's a great hour of advance for us at the seminary. But now, the inner voice said, go beyond that and enlist people. I have not been enlisting, I've been getting money. And considerable sums that I have obtained already for the East Stanley Jones School. One man has already put up $400,000. It's already in the till. It's already here. And he's a man I cultivated for years. But something more, God said. Enlist people to pray for the East Stanley Jones School now, as you never have before. That was the inner voice to me this morning. Thank God for it. And we're going to sing that great old hymn in conclusion. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. All right. Thank you.